Menachos, Perik, Vav, Mishnah Gimel, 6-3. We now talk about the oil that goes into the preparation of the Menachos. So, as we'll see in the Mishnah, a typical mincha has oil done in three stages. You put oil in the bottom of the klisharis, then the flour goes on top, then you put oil on top of that. That's called the blila, and your bolel, you mix it in together. There's a machlokas rishonim if you're going to make it into a, like a dough to cook in a pan or the oven, if you add the water first or the oil first and mix it with the water, okay? And then after you've finished making your mincha and it's ready to go, so to speak, you'll put oil on top. That's called yitzika under most circumstances, okay? So those three stages, the mata makli at the bottom, the balila in the middle, and then the yitzika at the end. Now, if you're going to be frying or baking, then there's some other steps. So let's talk about the frying for a second. Baking is more complicated. We'll get back to later in the Mishnah. Frying means the machvas and the marcheshes. So remember, what happens is you're adding water, and then you're making them into loaves, and then you're going to be doing sisa. You're going to break the loaves into like crumbs. Basically, they're kind of like pancakes, right? So you take those pancakes, wherever they are, and you're going to fold them in half twice, and they're going to crumble, you know? And then the pieces are going to, you're going to have oil on top of those. So according to the Bar Tanura's approach, I'm just going to do one because there's slight variations between the different Rishonim, but according to the Bar Tanura, this is how you'd make a machvas and a marcheshes, which sort of paves the way to seeing the Mishnah and like Bigadol from in the big picture, like this. This is according to the Chachamim, okay, and this is like the halacha we'll call it according to the Bar Tanura. First of all, you put a little bit of oil in the bottom of a kli. That's step one, okay? Then you put the flour into the klisharis on top of the oil. That's stage two. Then you put more oil on the flour and you mix it up. So that's the second, that's stage three, if you will. That's the second application of oil. And that's before the hot water goes in. So this means the bartender is going like the Rambam, okay? The Rashi and Tosa Seder understand that the water goes before the second application of oil. Then you add the water. That's poshrim, you know, room temperature, and knead it together. Then you divide it into 10 separate loaves, and then you fry it, either in the machvas or marcheshes, and then you fold it up into quarters, break it up to pieces, sisa, and then you do the third oil application of yitzika, putting it on top of the, like the crumbs, if you will. Okay, then you add the lavona, and then you will start taking your, you know, your komets, etc. Okay, that's the Bartanura's approach. We'll stick with that for now. That's good. That's how it goes with the machvas amarcheshes. Okay, we'll see later on the Mishnah. There's actually not going to be three oil applications when it comes to things that are baked in an oven, the chalas and the rakikin. We'll get back to that shortly. So let's see the Mishnah inside first. It says, kol ha-menachos na'asos bakli. Any mincha, which is prepared exclusively within a klisharis. You could have multiple klisharis, but if it's done all within inside the klisharis, so then it's going to be having tu'unos shalosh matanos shemen. There'll be three separate oil insertions, three stages in the process. Yitzika at the end on top, balila in the middle mixing together, and matan shemen bakli, kodum lisiyasan, oil in the bottom of the utensil before you begin. It is peculiar that the Mishnah goes chronologically out of order, starting with last before first. Okay, Mefarshim ask it, those yont of others, but I don't have a good answer for you. Now, when it says na'asos bakli, made in a kli sharis, that's coming to exclude made in an oven. The ma'afe tanor, the baked in the oven, the chalos and rakikin. So according to the Tana here, he holds that the tanor eno mekudash, that the tanor, the oven in which these things are baked, are not kli sharis. Therefore, when he says made in a kli, he means to exclude the two that are baked. Okay, so they're not baked, those get three times. But if they are baked, then there could be two or maybe even just one application, machlokas, we're showing them here. So the Mishnah goes on to say, v'chalos bolin divrei Rebbe. According to Rebbe, if you're preparing chalos, like, you know, the baked chalos, so first you bake them, and then you break them up into pieces, and then bolin, you put the oil in afterwards, okay? According to the Rambam, that will be essentially the one, this is not l'halacha, but in the Rambam's world, that would essentially, according to Rebbe, be the one only time you put the oil. Rambam would understand. The chacham orim solis. The chacham say no. You put the oil into the dough. I'll call it dough. Into the flour. Solis means flour. Prior to the baking. Okay, so as opposed to the Rebbe says afterwards. So according to the chacham, and I'll call this the halacha, before it goes into the oven, the dough already has oil mixed in for chalos. Okay? Now, although the Mishnah is talking about chalos, the machlokos in Rebbe and the chachamim regarding whether the oil goes on the before it turns into psisin or afterwards only, that exists also for the machvas the marcheshes, meaning that according to Rebbe, there's no you when you prepare your dough for a machvas marcheshes, also it's done without the oil, and then after, then you do belila on the pieces, not on the flour. Okay, but lacham say in the flour, and that's halacha. Now, as far as the chalos in general, meaning the baked mincha, those tu'unos belila that you need to mix them with oil, v'rakikin meshuchin. Instead of mixing with oil, they're smeared with oil. So this is talking about afterwards, after you've made your loaves of bread or your crackers or bread, so now you're going to put oil on top of them. Okay, according to the Rambam, this could be the very first time you're putting the oil in. That's not true. The Rambam would have oil in the dough, but not in the bottom of the container. Okay, and then that's going to be when your oil is inserted first. But according to the rakikin would be put on. You're just basically holding off the oil until afterwards, and you put in the smear on top. Now, how do you do the smearing? Ketzad moshchan, how do you do the smearing of the oil onto the rakik and the crackers? So, says the Mishnah, kamin ki, it's like the Greek letter ki, and then usha'ar ha-shemen ne'echa l'kohanim. The remaining oil, after you've smeared it within the shape of a ki, that oil is eaten by the kohanim. So Rabbi Shimon says two separate things here. Number one, he says, when it comes to rakikin, you just do like a key-shaped smearing of oil. And number two, the oil is left over, and you eat the kohanim eat it. Okay, and there are two brises that the Gemara brings that argue with both these points. One brisa says, no, you don't have to do it in a key, you just sort of just smear it equally, like, you know, butter on bread, sort of. And the other one says, no, you don't just do one application of oil. You keep on applying oil again and again and again and again to these rakikin crackers until there's no oil left. And then the kohanim eat the oily crackers and there's no separate oil at the eat. Okay? Now, the halacha is going to follow that approach. That's what I'm saying this first. Now, the halacha is not like what our Mishnah says. The halacha is there's no min ki. It's just, you know, smoothing, according to the Rambam anyways, smoothing on the oil, the crackers, and you do it again and again until all the oil has been absorbed. That's how the oil is applied to rakikin. Now, the Mishnah has Rabbi Shimon, who's saying not la halacha. Now, it's interesting. His kamin ki, what is that referring to? So, everyone agrees that it's talking about some Greek letter. It's clear from the Gemara. But which Greek letter? So, the Rambam learns it's referring to the Greek letter chi, typically written in English as chi, sometimes as xi. And that letter is shaped like an X, both the capital and lowercase chi, shaped like an X. And since there's no X in the Hebrew alphabet, and X seems like a very simple aesthetic way to anoint the oil with an X on the cracker, they didn't have a Hebrew letter, so they said a Greek letter, chi, an X, straightforward, okay? Not everyone agrees with the Rambam, however. So there's two other approaches. The Bartanura goes like Rashi, that the ki, kamin ki, is referring to a Greek letter that's shaped like the Hebrew letter tes, well, what I would call a U shape, okay? And that means it's referring to the Greek letter upsilon. Greek letter upsilon, the lowercase version of it anyways, is written like a U. And that's what it's referring to. It's a little strange why we would have recourse to Greek letters when we have a tes, which is kind of U shape. You might answer, well, a tes not that U shaped. So maybe we want to really want a U, like a C or U shape. And therefore we have no letter, we have to go to the Greek letters. Second weird thing is, why would you call that a key? It's an upsilon. So a possible suggestion is, I only saw this in square brackets in the Yad Avraham art scroll, the old art scroll English explanations here. Square brackets usually means that the art scroll didn't have a source for it, but they made it up, but they think it's compellingly true and answers a basic question. That's usually what the article does with the square brackets there. So they suggest, why would the upsilon be called the key? Kamin key, because key, the word chaf is like the 20th, there's the number 20 in like the gematria 20, you know, and key kind of would mean like 20th letter. And in fact, the 20th letter of the Greek alphabet is the upsilon. So that's how that would get to that. The Aruch says, no, the min key is referring to not the chi, not an x, not an upsilon, the u, but rather the lambda. The capital lambda is essentially an upside down V. So it's a V shape. And if you ask yourself, well, if you ask yourself why we're having recourse to Greek letters, it makes sense. There's no V shaped, no V shaped letter in Hebrew. If you ask yourself, why would we call the lambda a key? So the idea would be that just as the chaf in Hebrew is the 11th letter of the alphabet, so in the place, the 11th letter of the Greek alphabet is indeed the letter lambda. So that would be that. In any case, good. Let's say whatever shape it is, X shape or V shaped or U shaped, that's only according to this sheet here of Rabbi Shimon. And it's not explicit in the Mishnah, but it's the Gemara says of Rabbi Shimon. And it's not la halacha according to the Rambam, so it's a sideshow and a distraction. The bottom line, la halacha is you smear it over the entire cracker and keep on repeating the smearing until all the oil is absorbed into those rakikin.